I love the words of that song. Through it all, my eyes are on you. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? And it is well with my soul. Think of that statement. It's not well with our souls because of who we are. It's well with our souls because of who God is and what he has done in our lives. Isn't that amazing? Like, think about where we are in this part of our worship service. We're at that part where we come before God, and now we've got some people up here, and Tim's coming up, and we're going to try to proclaim the praises of how we see God and what he has done in our lives. But none of us have the ability to communicate the presence of God. Only God can pull back the veil and reveal himself and speak to your heart. And really, our worship service has no meaning without that. And yet, even though we're sitting here, and these guys are sitting here, and if they would think about their ability to communicate what God wants them to communicate to you, they are completely unable to do that. So they have good reason to be nervous, don't they? But it is well with our soul because we know this. It's not us communicating. It's God who is speaking. And anyone who has ears to hear can hear. And so let me just pray right now. Father, we ask you to give us ears to hear. We ask you to help us to fix our hearts and our eyes on you. We pray, Lord, that you will give us the ability to be still and quiet our souls and allow your spirit to speak in our heart the truths that you want us to see, that evoke in us such a gratitude for how awesome and great you are, that it propels us not just to want to give our lives to you, but to want to speak those praises of your greatness to worship you. And so we thank you, and we pray that you will be the center of all that is going on. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, I have got a few people right here, and Makumbi is here, and I know you're waiting to see him. I actually was going to let him sit for a few minutes, but now you can stand and you can watch, because we're gonna kind of introduce you, and I didn't want to embarrass you because we're going to talk about you, but that's okay, because now you can watch his face as we talk about him too. What I wanted to do is I wanted to just ask a couple of people.
It's chicken.
I see. that's something Makumbi says all the time. I see. I'm going to just ask Tim, because both Tim and Dan have been several times to Uganda and have experienced watching God move through the church and through the people that Makumbi has led. And it's had a powerful impact where God has spoken to you. So I'm just going to let them take just a moment and just express how God has used your experience to transform your life.
Well, anything that I say, it needs to be that God's the one that did the work over there, not us. We didn't do anything other than just let him use us. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, you know, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So I don't want you to hear anything that I did. God did everything over there. But I guess the gentleman that comes to mind the most for me is the one in the picture. He's the guy in the center. He couldn't walk. His name was Gottfried. And this was a day in between when we were doing our the Crusades. And we met with a group of handicapped folks. And that was just an amazing time because we were all in a circle. And they went around, and most of these people had birth defects of some sort. And some other kind of handicap. And Gottfried couldn't walk. He got around on his hands, and he made a living by cleaning shoes. So you can imagine, you know, life was very, very hard for him. But we went around in that group, and they all told us their names and what was going on. And then all of us who were there got to go around, and it was just amazing to see that everybody in our group, either themselves or somebody in their family, also had some kind of birth defect or handicap. And you know, God was just, you know, showing us, you know, in your weakness, you know, I'm strong. You know, we had a way to connect to each one of those people through something that happened to us. Like, I was born with a cleft lip and cleft palate. I've told my Sunday school guys. I mean, that's why I've got a mustache, to try to hide the scar. But it's made me who I am, or partly. But what God did for, I guess, in me, just, you know, God changes hearts. And he helped me to see people a little bit more like he does. You know, he says in his word, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I've been thinking about that this week. And if any of y'all have ever had Janette Pickett's banana pudding, man, you know it's good. And if you've ever had it once, you want to have it again and again and again, right? And that's the way the Lord is. I mean, if you're doing what he wants you to do and you've tasted that, man, you just want to keep doing that. And
that's good. I'm gonna ask you a question because I want to bring something out that you had told me before. What did you, and I'm not just talking about, you saw it specifically here with the handicapped people, but you saw it from the moment you came in. What did you see inside those people that God really spoke to you?
They've got a joy, and I didn't do anything other than just sit and pray with people.
Don't worry about yourself. Just tell us what you saw.
Well, but what we were able to do was we sit and wrote down names, but you could see in those people a joy for Christ. You know, they don't have material things that we've got, but man, I mean, there was such a joy in their heart. They didn't, you know, the prayers that I wrote down in this book, you know, they weren't concerned about, I don't have this, I don't have that. It was, my husband is lost, or my wife is lost, or my son is in trouble. You know, same things that we deal with.
And what did God use to produce? What, you know, you talked about Janette's banana pudding and your desire for it. What did God produce in you to desire? What did you see God do and producing in you through that?
I don't know that I understand your question exactly, but that's...
I'm trying to pull out, what action did you see that God produced in you to take, to step out and do?
Just being willing to go.
What I was looking for.
Yeah, I mean, just...
I've got him under pressure.
just being willing. I mean, I've gotten to work with the middle school guys for, I don't know, a while, a few, 10 years or so. And, man, it's just such a blessing. I mean, you grow so much when you're trying to serve Christ. And when you are trying to point people to Christ and God's wanting to change hearts, it changes your heart.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for, because... you had a boldness that took you to go, but God really poured gasoline on that fire and created, when you came back, you brought back a boldness in finding your joy in serving him and reaching out to others. That's really good. Dan, I'm going to give you just a moment too, and I take it you're escaping out. I'm just going to give you a moment, and what I want to hear from you is, how did God transform your life through this experience?
Well, when I started out, because I love the Lord and he, through his grace, granted me salvation, I wanted to serve him to respond to that love he's got for me. And that was my only purpose, was to serve others because I loved God. And what I saw through my experience in the mission field was that he was, as the more love I poured out onto those other people and tried to help those other people in whatever capacity I could, that God was replacing that love overwhelmingly with waves of love and joy and astonishment. And everywhere I looked, I could see God's hand in all that we was that was going on.
Now, the verse that he's really living out is that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Because he went through a series of things where God created a desire where he wanted to give back love to God. And he was motivated to go to do that. And what he found when he got to Uganda and really let go and gave everything, he found that the satisfaction in serving God and sacrificing whatever it took to love and to reach out with other people, it gave you a filling and a joy that overflowed you that you had never experienced before.
It's amazing. God's love is so amazing, and it just washes over you. You're trying to give it away at such a rate, and he's washing it back over you. So there's always more than you can give. It's more than you can give.
Now, I have one more question, and some of you have heard Dan's testimony. This is a long journey to get Dan to even think of someone else, let alone go out to serve someone.
Amen.
But as he went to do that, when you went to Uganda and you made that choice and you said, you know what, I'm going to go into the unknown and I am going to get out of my comfort zone and I am going to seek to serve others completely for Christ, there was something inside of you that doubted that you had the ability to do that.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of uneasiness and apprehension. You know, I didn't think that I was capable or that I was going to be able to do that work, but the Lord kept speaking to me and letting me know that I was there for a reason and I was going to fulfill the mission.
And I'm not going to take any more of Mukumbi's time here, but God answered your prayers in many ways there and enabled you to be used and showed you that he could use you, that he was using you. And when you saw that, it lit a fire that when you came back here, you pursue moment by moment the ability to serve and reach out and help God achieve his purposes. That's your goal in life, minute by minute.
Absolutely. One thing I've come to realize, and I mean, it's rooted in scripture. I couldn't point to it directly, but I try to do the best I can with every human contact. You know, we can all critique our own selves with each experience we have with another individual to say what we did good in that situation or what we did poorly in that situation. You know, we can always improve, you know, and get better at loving others.
Now, I know you could talk all day, but I'm going to cut you off. Because it's amazing what God has done in your life. And it is what God wants for us. And I want you to also realize that, you know, what he's saying, it doesn't matter who we are. You know, God didn't transform Dan and all of a sudden make him the most perfect person in the world. God uses us because of our hearts and our desire to serve him, and his grace produces strength in our weaknesses. So he's sitting here and saying, you know what? It's well with my soul. I know what God's calling me to do. I can't do. I know I don't have the social skills, the ability, the wisdom. I don't know enough to do what God wants me to do, but it's well with my soul because I know if I walk out there, God will do it. It's a wonderful feeling. Thank you. Mukumbi, I'm going to let you come on up here too. There's Dan. I did want you to see what he looked like when he first went with no beard. That's a But it is amazing what God does. Now, I want you to welcome Mukumbi. So I want you to give him a round of applause to welcome him and let him know how you feel. And Philippians tells us to welcome him with Christian love and great joy and give him honor, which is what we just did, that people like him deserve. And I'm going to take just a moment and I'm going to tell you a few things about Mukumbi. And this time you are going to have to stand here and listen to it. But I'm not going to ask him to brag on himself. But I believe God wants us to fulfill this scripture. Because not everyone in here has risked their lives for the gospel. But all of you who've been here before, because Mukumbi comes every year, you know he sat in a church where a hand grenade was rolled down and blew up and injured his wife and killed a child next to her. You know that he's gone into Muslim areas, called to start a church in a place where that's not an acceptable thing to do. And we are supposed to give honor to people who will follow Christ wherever he calls them. And so I'm gonna talk a little bit about what God has done in your life. And this way you won't have to look vain, because we're talking about what God has done. And Mukumbi, as many of you know, Mukumbi was not an educated person. But he prayed and asked God to help him to be equipped, to be able to do the work God had called him to. And he taught himself not only to read English, but to read Arabic. Can you imagine doing that? That is a gift that God gave you. He prayed for it because God had called him and he needed it. And God supplied all that he needed in Christ Jesus. The ability to communicate to us and the ability to communicate to the Muslim world that he was called to. When he first became a Christian, and last time he was here, he told you that story. He decided that he was called to reach out to this Muslim community. He started a church. There were 5 people in it. One of them was his wife, and the other 4, one was a Catholic that he had converted. The other 3 were Muslims that had been converted. They were the 5 people in the church, and he was the pastor, and it started off in a home. And it took 4 years before they started getting any more converts at all. And eventually, one of the men who had been converted, there were about 15, said, well, you can meet in our house. And then they could build a little temporary structure on his yard. But it was a long time before you were able to even purchase a property to start a church where you could bring other people in. And even then, all you could put up was a temporary structure. Then Mukumbi, for some reason, had put in his heart to come to the United States. So he came here. He has no mission board behind him. He came here and got hooked up with a few people from CBMC and the police. I forgot the name of the Fellowship of Police Officers or whatever. And God started hooking him up with a few people. And I mean right now, he is hooked up with a few people. We are one of them. And God started opening up his ministry, enabling him to get a place that more people could come in and start the construction on that. And as they had room to bring people in, God brought the people in. That church now has over 1,200 people. But what's more incredible than that is how many people that they have raised up in that church have been called to go out and plant churches. And bring that word of God. And we'll look at that a little bit further. Here's his church today. That's a lot different than 5 people meeting in a little living room of a little place. They're worshiping God. I believe you have 2 services. You have 3 services. Take a look at that crowd. And that's just in his church right now. 80 to 85% of the people in Uganda are unemployed. Every day they walk around looking for somebody who might help them to do some work or do some help so they can get a little money maybe to buy food for their family that day. And so unemployment is very difficult. Well, you're bringing people into a community and they have physical needs. And so God put on Mukumbi's heart to start a chicken farm. I think you do other things that I'll show right here. But the chicken farm they started, and they are able to start to generate some income that they can survive, because that's important. Here he is with the digging of fish ponds that they have. They also have eucalyptus trees. And so they employ people, or it allow people to be able to make a living. And part of that is to be able to help them have their physical needs met so that they can reach out with the love of Christ rather than spend all their time scrambling for food. When he first came here, he was building this. And what this is a it is a school. And the school is not there just to teach people or provide an education so they can get jobs. The school is a place that people need because they have to be educated to get any kind of job other than labor. And when they get them in there, they can share the gospel with them. They can lead them to Christ. And so a generation of young people can grow up knowing Christ rather than trying to find them when life is terrible and get their eyes off of searching for food onto the food that fills their soul. First time he came to Eastwood, there was a visitor who came in here who only attended this church one time and gave a $45,000 check, which enabled them to, I think that was the third time you were here, but it enabled you at that time to get the foundation, get the thing of this school actually going. Here's the children's dormitories when we visited. After the first trip, they were able to purchase and get beds and things and actually get the kids in there. Here are some of the kids who are living there. Their plans now are for this next year to double the amount of kids to almost 400 kids that they will have housed in these dormitories, going to these classrooms, supplied with materials in order to study and to learn not just what it takes to be able to be leaders in society, but to be equipped with Christ in their hearts to lead their society to Christ. Here's the school kitchen where they provide food for these kids throughout the day. Have a problem with the well at the orphanage because the water is salty. They've tried filters. It's not going there. So now they're trying to dig a well to be able to provide water because that's an enormous need for them. They do medical clinics. They give out medicines. They do dental work. They share testimonies as they do all of these things. And crusades to Christ, they have planted 156 churches. And they have led people to Christ who feel compelled to give their lives to the ministry, and they've sent them out as pastors, most of them with motorcycles, in order so they can make a living to provide the gospel to different communities. 156 years. I want you to think about that. Five people in a living room. And what God has done, because they faithfully followed him without fear, is he has established 156 churches. And Macumbi is self-educated. That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what God can do. And so what I want to do is I want to ask Macumbi to share a little bit from his heart of what God has done inside of him, inside of his people, and what God has done to enable them to spread the gospel. Because it's the same thing that God is speaking to us. And when Macumbi comes every time and whenever we go over there, we spend time talking. And I learn from him. And it's a wonderful thing to see what God has done. And as he speaks, I think some of you are going to be listening and thinking, well, these are the same things God is telling me that we need to do right here. And some of you may be in a place that say, I'm pulled that way, and God is telling me, hey, you need to not just know these things, but you need to do them more and be more intentional about what you're doing. But Macumbi, I want to ask you to talk about those things, and I'm going to bring this up, those things that you see that are necessary. And what's interesting is they're necessary in the outreach. The people who come to Christ go through these levels. The people who are the servants of Christ have to be able to meet these level needs to draw and lead people to Christ. So I want you just to share with us. Oh, and what did I do with that? Where is it? Okay, there we go. You got to remember, I can't bend over and I can't see very well. I think bending over was the hardest part. Well, Macumbi, sorry, I thought you had a mic, but I want you right now to just to start off and explain to us the way God has transformed your people and enabled you to share his love. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. First and foremost, I want to appreciate what God has done through both of us. I don't think we would reach or we would get this far if he did not bring you on our way. And one thing, Pastor Bill, I've learned is when God assigns you, gives you an assignment, that assignment, what God has done, he has wrapped the power into that assignment, that the assignment will be able to determine the resources which God will put into your hand. And these four resources, I always mention them over and over. Number one is the information. This is because we are born again, we are Christians. That's the Christian information. And number two is the friends. Number three, the enemies. Number four, that's money. So all that would depend on what God has assigned you to do. So I want to say thank you for being willing vessels to stand with us in Africa, that we both can achieve this, and to God be the glory. The question that question you asked me, it's not something easy, but this is how, yesterday while we were in the restaurant with Pastor Bill and Dan, I shared all this and, through the questions he was asking me. He asked me, when we were there in Uganda, we saw your people, they were so sold out to the gospel, sold out to God. What's the secret behind them? So I told him that to every human being, whether you are born again or not born again, witch, doctor, Muslim, God has put six levels into our lives. And until these leaders help us to, to get through those levels, life may become, pieces, may become nothing. Now, to our people, God has enabled me, has revealed to me how to take them through these levels. I will not speak to them that now this is level number one. No, I just come up with scriptures, with teachings, and I take them through those teachings, and boy, they get there. So number one level, whenever a person joins a group or comes to a group or comes to a home or at a place or anywhere, his number one question, will my needs be met? If I stay with these people, if I work here, if I do this with these people, will my needs be met? So now it's upon our shoulders as leaders, as pastors, to teach these people, to show them how things work, how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to do, how to go before God until, they get to that point where God can meet their needs. Now, when they find that their needs have been met, then they go to another level. Am I loved? Do these people really love me? So you have to teach them, to show them as a leader, to give them a hug, to ask them what this and that. You show them love. And not only you as the leader, but also the people you lead with. You have to teach them, to train them how they can interact with these people, how they can, you know, make them feel that they are loved. Now, after that level, then there's level number 3. Do I belong here? So when you get to, when this Christian or when this person joins, a church or a congregation, as I said, level number 1, number 2, number 3, do I belong here? So this is what I do, and this is how I train our people. After the service, like Pastor Bill does, and, I go outside and I stop, on our church we have 3 exits, entries and exits. So we close the other 2 and all the people go through 1 exit. I stand outside, I look into their names, their faces, I call them by names. Oh, Peter, I didn't see you 2 weeks back. I didn't see you. Then that will, open up his eyes. Oh, so this man knows me. When I'm not around, I mean something. Because people are created that way. They want to be recognized. They want to know that when I'm not around, people, I matter. People, they ask why am I not here. So I call them by names. That John, wow, I'm glad to see you. I've enjoyed your fellowship. Thank you for coming. So they want to be to know that they belong somewhere. Now after that level,
let me just say one thing before you go on. How many of you are noticing that God is leading him to do the same thing he's been leading us to do? Because we open up, and what's the first thing you have to know? We want to communicate. You belong in God's family. And people want to know when they come in, we talked about the difference in our societies. When they come into him, they want to know, am I going to have something to eat? Am I going to have a place to sleep tonight? Mm-hmm. When they come in here, they want to know, am I going to get some emotional support? Am I going to get somebody who will listen to me? Am I going to get somebody who will help give me the advice? Our society, we don't have people coming in on a regular basis that they have no money, no food, that we have people who struggle financially, but the poorest person here doesn't struggle at all like they do, like almost everyone there does. And so it's a little bit different, but people come in here with needs. And so the first thing that we have to realize as Christians, if I'm going to be Christ to them, I've got to let them know Christ can meet your needs. And because Christ lives in me, I want to help you to find Christ. The second thing is to be loved and create that teamwork. It's not enough for just Macumbi to reach out to people. He's created an atmosphere where people know that they're loved, because if they're not there, someone's going to ask about them. People are going to talk to them. They're going to acknowledge them. They don't come in, sit down, get up and leave. And we do that very well here. The third level he's talking about, and this is the one I wanted to get to, because this is a difference in our society. Do I belong here? He says in Africa, he said, I noticed here when you come to America that you guys build walls. In Africa, we build bridges. In other words, most of us don't know our neighbors. Some of us have fences to keep neighbors' dogs and things out. And we have confined lives, where in Africa, they're dependent. We went to Africa, there are no street signs anywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
So everyone who goes anywhere has to go and say, hey, I'm looking for that gray-haired pastor named Macumbi. Do you know him? Well, you can go 20 miles away from where he is and ask 3 or 4 people, and someone will say, oh, yes, I've heard of him. He has a church. So you go down this road and go down this road, and you get lost, and you ask someone else. They cannot get along without being connected. So everyone is connected and looking and talking to help one another, whereas to us, we got GPS. We've got our own devices to do that. And so in America right here, and this is a cultural problem we have with this. We feel like if someone is not here, and we say, hey, Ian, why weren't you here last week? That's an offensive statement. It's like I'm saying, it's like I'm trying to point out the fact that you didn't be here, and I'm judging you and saying you should be here. Well, Ian is the same type of human being as are there. Inside of him, he wants to feel like he belongs, he's cared about, and that he's noticed when he's not gone. We as a culture feel like it's really not our place, and we're really not supposed to be doing that because it's offensive and it's entering into someone's privacy. You kind of see what I'm saying? So our culture builds walls rather than bridges. And if we want to really open up and let God work, we got to realize that we can't be conformed to our world. We just can't be conformed to our world. We have to be engaging as Christ was engaging, and we have to speak the truth in love. And the truth is, we want you here. We're glad you're here. And I don't want to worry about if you miss, you know, about all of these things that I analyze about whether you're going to be offended or this or that. I just want to tell you, hey, we're glad you're here. This is a point right in here that I wanted to emphasize because it is a key point. This is the level in which you lose people, isn't it? Because if a person comes in here and they don't say, hey, I think that Christ has the ability to meet my needs, and I'm seeing that in his people. I have a desire to be loved and accepted, and I feel that here. And I do feel like I'm a part and I belong. It's not a group here that's got something I don't have and I just can't seem to penetrate and get in that group. But that group wants me in here. If they see what they want but they don't feel like they can get in the group, you're not doing them a favor by trying to protect and not make them feel offended. You're just not. That's our culture that's confining us and trying to prohibit the gospel from being expanded. People want to be loved. We have to be open and do it. Now, I'm sorry that it's I brought okay. that, but I want to bring that. So go yeah. ahead and hit your level
and
four.
And also in level two, that's why when we go out to do evangelism, we take mosquito nets. We take these, we do mobile clinics, dental clinics, so that these people, we want them to feel that we love them, we care for them. You know, that sense of love, that's, you know, is so important. Like in our church, we visit them also, that is, you know, to feel them loved, that they are loved. The pastor cares. We visit them, which of course you do here. Then level four.
Let me translate to our society. What he does is he gives them what they need. And what's the most valuable commodity in our society? Time. That's the most valuable society. I mean, there's no one who has time to sit down and really walk us through the really difficult places in life we need to go through. And it's hard for us to ask somebody to do that. So being loved means that you see someone sacrificing for you because they know Mukumbi and his people are in the same financial state they're in, and yet they're giving them something that costs them. They may go without food. We had people who came there who went without work, went without money, might not have paid their rent that week, might have had to look for another place to live, might not have had something to eat, and the people they're serving know they're sacrificing for them. In our society, you ask a lot of kids, what do you need? They want time with their parents. They want time with some. They want someone to listen to them. And so when we translate that to our culture, and you look at why do most people not have time to work and invest and share what they've got? They don't have time for someone who's in need. And that is the hurdle that we come over. I'm sorry, I know we're getting close, so I'll let you hit four.
I want to again to thank you for what you are doing for, you know, to reach these people. And again, this is what you need to know. That the church in the third world country, like in Uganda, not only the church but the country, in all third world countries, the unemployment percentage is between 80, like in our country, is between 80 to 85. So, which means when you plant a church, those are the people who come, the unemployed, the, you know, the helpless, the hopeless, and so forth. So now, these people, when they come to church, they are looking for the church to support, to help them, to provide for them. While the church in the first world, like in the Western world, the unemployment percentage may be between 10 and 5% or 10 and 1%. So that, which means when you plant or when you open up a church in the Western world, all the people who come, they have, they are employed, they have an income at least. So now, which means the church is depending or is looking at the congregation, which is the opposite in the other side. So thank you so much for standing with us, for helping us to start all these income generating projects, because now we can reach our people. Level number four. After this person or Christian has recognized that he belongs to that society or to this church, then he's now asking, am I secure? If I share my stories, my life experience, okay, I have a gun, okay, I committed this, I did this, and I'm unwanted, am I secure with this pastor? Am I secure with this leadership? Won't they, take it around? So, am I secure if really I entrust my whole life to this church or to this minister? Am I secure if I entrust all my family, my wife, my children, to this church or to this leadership, to this minister? Am I secure? Now, when he realizes that he's secure, then level number five, that is self-esteem. Esteem. Esteem is two-way. But that's level number six. Esteem has got two things, two levels, low esteem and high esteem. This is where this Christian will come to a level of respecting himself when he's walking in the in the community. You will never realize the maturity of a Christian until he's out in the market, he's on the road driving like here, he has stopped on the traffic light. But in Africa, this is when he's in a market or doing business or interacting with his relatives and so forth. That's when you realize the maturity of that Christian. Now, at this level, he learns to respect himself when he's walking around, moving around, interacting with his people. He will make sure that he protect his dignity. That is, he may not just go out and do poo-poo everywhere. Like, this is strange here, but that's, what is in Africa. He will not go around, eating on the road, walking. He has these pieces of corn just going, no. So that is, and then this is a level where he respects others. When he's interacting with others, he respects them, the way he talks with them, the way he works with them, and so forth. Then from that level, he gets to the last level. Because he's a Christian, he's now asking, can I become what Christ wants me to become? Can I do what the Bible says I can do? Can I become a blessing to others? How can I help? How can I pray for this one? What is their need? Then from that level, he can visit them. He can do exactly what he was, what people were doing for him. So when you put all that together, that's how we have trained our people. And that's why you could see them hungry. If he did not, participate in that mission, he said, wow, I missed it. Because he feels there's something he could have contributed toward these people.
Yes. And as you look at that, you can see this is not only the way someone comes and progresses to come to Christ, where they wonder, okay, can God meet the needs of my heart? Does he love me? Do I belong in his family really? Can I trust him? And can I actually become the person that God created me to be? Is there more to life than just what I have? Those are the steps of an individual coming, but the ability to show Christ in that way to others is the development and the maturity of a church. And where you are as a piece of that church, as a part of the body of Christ, expressing who Christ is to draw people to him, is found within that. So, Mukumbi, I appreciate what you've done.
Thank you, sir.
I'm grateful that we can see that what God is speaking and doing in you is an illustration to us of the same thing he's speaking and doing in us. And we're grateful to see God at work in such a powerful way in your ministry. And what we're going to do right here, I'm going to give it, this is kind of a life verse for Mukumbi. I don't know if it's his life verse, but it's the life verse I give him. And that is, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is what?
Formed
in you, until they look at you and they see Christ, until they walk in this church and they say, God is in you. God is here. And I can see and feel and experience God through this church, and so it draws me to want to be a part of his family himself. This is what God wants us to do. Now, we are going to pray for Mukumbi, and we're going to sing a song of praise and response to God, however he has spoken to you. But also, we're going to take, as we always do when Mukumbi comes, and I know we don't normally do it, but we're going to take an offering. And if you feel that God is leading you to give to him, you can do that. Also, as we normally do, we will keep that offering open if you feel led to give and you're not prepared at this time. But sometimes I have people tell me with Mukumbi that they wanted to write a check right then. And so we will give you that opportunity. So let me pray, and we'll have the band come in, and we're going to just sing our praises to God. Father, we do praise you. And we are grateful for the men and women that we read about in the Bible that truly stepped out trusting you and without fear in difficult circumstances, let go of this world, and obeyed the call that you put in their hearts. And we are amazed when we read in the pages of your words the powerful miracles that you did in and through them. And we thank you for what you have done in Mukumbi's heart. And because of what you've done in his heart, what you've done through his heart, and how it has just exploded through the country of Uganda, we are grateful to be a part of that, a part of true life transformation. To see 156 men out of one church who have felt the call to give their lives completely to your service and count upon you completely to meet their needs in a very, very poor country when they are spending the bulk of their time in reaching out to share your love and giving to others. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful work you're doing. We thank you for the opportunity that we have had to join with him. We thank you for the lessons that you speak to us. And Father, we pray right now that our hearts will be as pure and committed and devoted to you, as fearless and as filled with faith, as willing to obey as the people that you have produced in Uganda. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that we see it here. And we ask you to grow it even more. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.